The Walk of Life. Hey, that's a little overwhelming, isn't it? All those commercials like that, fast order. I'm like overwhelmed and want to buy stuff really badly at the same time. Right? We receive all kinds of messages, all kinds of ways to tell us how we should live our lives, what the walk of life should look like. Feel really like that? Good. Right? People want us to buy their products because they think it'll help us to say something about ourselves, about who we are. Right? And yeah, it's just overwhelming. And today, as we talk about the path that God would have for us, the art of wisdom, the way that we walk in wisdom, we're going to listen to some other messages. We're going to try to find out what that path is. Because we know it's not that, right? We know it's not commercials. But God does have a path. I'm Ben Brand, for those of you who don't know me, if you haven't met me yet. Thank you. Somebody applauded that they hadn't met me yet, I think. We're in the middle of our Art of Wisdom series. And last week, Kyle Chase, he attempted to answer the question, is wisdom a thing? And hopefully, yes, if you're here, if you were here last week and you're back again this week, hopefully you believe that wisdom is a thing. There is a path. There is a way that this world is supposed to work. And we can find that through wisdom. And today, we're going to look at where do we find wisdom? Where do we go to maybe when the way that we think life is supposed to work isn't working? Maybe like Troy, you think you're having a dinner to receive the permission of the parents and it doesn't happen. Maybe you find yourselves engaging with people that don't necessarily agree with you on political things these days. What do you do with that? Maybe you find yourself, wondering, should I ask this person out before Valentine's Day? And pop culture television says no, absolutely not, but who knows? Maybe the Lord would have that for you today. I'm not going to address that specifically, but it's one of the things that we question, we wonder about. And you're here, right? You're at church, so you know the answer for where to find wisdom. It's got something to do with Jesus or the Bible or something, and we'll get there. But I had a few things that I wanted to talk about first, places that in my younger days that I had gone to for wisdom, and even some now, right? You guys may not know this. I'm a father. I have three girls. We have a picture today. I know, right? And I read to them like I'm supposed to, and it's fun. If you want a list of children's books that are fun for grown-ups and for kids, let me know. I got that list, at least mentally. We love Dr. Seuss books. There's so much of Dr. Seuss that is profound. I found this one. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. Or one that I like, especially in my household, You Must Not Hop on Pop. It's a real lifesaver. Right, my older two girls, there we do homeschool, they're in school, they're learning about U.S. history, and Brooklyn shared with me, she's the middle child, she shared with me this wisdom from Benjamin Franklin. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. I was like, that sounds way too easy. I just have to adjust my sleep habits and I will become wise. Okay. A deep thinker that I used to enjoy back in the 90s from his work on Saturday Night Live is one Jack Handy. He shares this nugget of wisdom. Before you criticize someone, you should walk a mile in their shoes. Because then when you criticize them, you'll be a mile away and you'll have their shoes. Okay? It may be a little dated, but it's still good. Maybe the internet's a better place to go for wisdom, right? I was looking, you know, I did some research in the hashtag Wednesday Wisdom. I was like, oh, this would be great. I could find some great examples to share. And as I looked, I thought, you need a lot of wisdom to gain any wisdom from the hashtag Wednesday Wisdom. there's a lot of ridiculous and dumb things. I'll share one quickly. And it applies to me, and I don't want to blanket for everybody, but it said maybe you shouldn't name your child after Beyonce. I was like, all right, I probably shouldn't. You're right. Although the hashtag ArtOfWisdomA2, that's been active this last week. We've been using it, Kyle challenged us to use it to engage with it, share what we're learning as we're going through this series. And there's been great stuff there. I've learned about the amazing artistry talents of some of my coworkers. And it's just great to be able to click on that and find wisdom that relates to what we're learning, what we're engaging with as a church. So I encourage you, as you engage, as you leave here, and as this hopefully isn't just a Sunday thing, that you engage and you share on social media as well with that hashtag. So fun results so far with our search for wisdom. We're gonna go to the Bible now and see what it has to say. I'm going to be jumping around quite a bit in the Bible. So if you have a Bible, you can get it out. It might be hard to follow along. That's why we have a lot of it up on the screen for you. If you don't own a Bible, we have free ones at the Info Center. Grab one, please. We'd love for that to be our gift for you. That could be possibly the wisest thing that you do all week. So we're going to look at where to start with wisdom, right? The beginning of wisdom. And the Bible has something to say about that. As we walk down this path, where do we start? Proverbs 9:10, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Psalm 111:10, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commands will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever. Job 28:28, and this is what he says to all humanity, the fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. And so that's where we're going to start today, with the fear of the Lord. But before we go any farther, I am going to pray. Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for each person that's here. Lord, I thank you that we have the opportunity to seek wisdom, that we have an opportunity to understand a little bit more how you have made this place to work, and how you have made us for relationship with you, Lord. God, I pray that any of the unwise words that I would have, Lord, that they would just not be received, they just go over people's heads, Lord, but that the words that you have for us this morning, that they would penetrate deep into our hearts and change us. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So we're starting with the fear of the Lord. So it seems like that's not a thing that we talk about all the time, right? So I decided, let's look for a definition, something that we can agree on with what the fear of the Lord means, okay? And I dove into the Bible, and I found a lot of actually interesting things. This is just a few of them. We're not going to go into each verse reading it, but if you want to take a picture of that, I'll post. The fear of the Lord is, it's a treasure. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It is security and refuge, a life-giving fountain. The fear of the Lord leads to life and satisfaction. It leads to riches, honor, and a long life. It strengthens and grows the church. It allows us to submit to one another. So there's not really it describes what it is. It doesn't give us a solid definition. A lot of times, people will define it as awe or reverence. Even in that Ephesians verse, it's usually translated, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The word there is actually phobos. It's the word that we get phobia from. It means submit to one another out of the fear of Christ. Last week, we watched the Bible Project video, and they described the fear of the Lord as a healthy respect. And I like that, but I don't feel like it goes quite far enough. There is a reason that the word fear is used. And maybe it's because the words awe and respect and reverence are kind of diluted in our culture. We call lots of things awesome that are not awesome. People in the Old Testament, they were terrified whenever they thought they were in the presence of God. They assumed that they would be killed. Right? And you even see people describe that they are afraid of Jesus. There's one from Mark and Luke. The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. And in Luke, great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God, saying, "A mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today." When people would glimpse pieces of Jesus' deity, they were afraid because it is so awesome. And so I kept looking for a definition that I liked better than those, and I found one from Tim Keller. I don't think it's perfect. I like it better. I have the microphone, so we're going to read it today. Fear in the Bible means to be overwhelmed, to be controlled by something. To fear the Lord is to be overwhelmed with wonder before the greatness of God and his love. It means that because of his bright holiness and magnificent love, you find him fearfully beautiful. Fearing him means bowing before him out of amazement at his glory and beauty. You sip of water. I'm not really getting that emotional. That's where we start in our pursuit of wisdom. Right? The Bible tells us if you don't decide that Jesus is the Lord of your life, right? If you do not fear the Lord, meaning that you bow down, that he is your Lord, you may gain some wisdom, but where it ends is not in true wisdom. It doesn't end up the way, walking in a way that leads you to the Lord. We'll get back to that in a little bit. But Psalm 111:10 use that language, true wisdom. And if the fear of the Lord is true wisdom, is the beginning of true wisdom, we can go to God because he is the source of true wisdom. If you haven't decided whether or not Jesus is the Lord of your life, I want to pause for just a second and encourage you to do that. It is the most important decision that you can make. And it actually makes this pursuit of wisdom question a lot easier. As we engage with different things, it just doesn't, the decision is made for you. Am I going to obey? Am I going to submit to this? Am I going to bow down to this or not? And you can do that now. You can do it later when we have our prayer ministers come up here. Nothing else that I share today is more important than you deciding whether or not you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Okay? So like I said, God is the source of true wisdom. And not only that, he is more than happy to provide wisdom to us. Right? I was talking to Andrew Mass just before the service. One of the wisest things that we can do is recognize when we lack wisdom. Right? And we can ask God for it. James 1, Kyle referenced this last week as well. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. What you see right there, a little bit of a reinforcement of the fear of God. If your fear is in something, or if your faith is in something else, God is not eager to give you wisdom. But if you are trusting him, he gives it out generously. You should ask God for wisdom. The creator of the universe wants to give you wisdom. I've tried to make this a habit in my life. If I'm asking God for something, which when I pray, I try not to ask God for something every time. But if I am, I usually ask him for wisdom in addition to whatever else I'm praying for. You can ask those people the staff that are in meetings with me. I'm almost always praying for wisdom for the meeting that we're about to have, for the things that are going on in our lives. The God of the universe, the God that created the universe, generally wants to give you wisdom generously. Ask him for it. Solomon, who authored most of the Proverbs that we're reading through as a church, many people say, or actually the Bible says, he was the wisest man to ever live. And it wasn't because just became that way. It wasn't because he had a lot of experiences that led him that way. It's because he asked God for it. 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon, right before this, he sacrificed like 1,000 animals, which I did the math. If you do like one a minute, that's like still 16 hours of sacrificing animals. It's gross and mind-blowing at the same time. But that's what happened right before this. And then Solomon goes to sleep, and then in a dream, God appears to him and asks God asks him, what do you want? And he says, give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands, as your father David did, I will give you a long life. Right? So it seems like first place for wisest person ever is taken by Solomon, but you could ask God for number two. You could be in second place. Ask God for wisdom. There's a thing at the end of that verse as well that leads me to my second point. God tells Solomon to obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did. Right, that was in Psalm 111 for us as well. All who obey my commands will grow in wisdom. God gives wisdom through his word. And not just through reading it, but through obeying it. Psalm 119, it's the longest psalm in the Bible. It's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. And it is all about God's word. It's full of promises about the path for those that obey God's word. And I wanted to share just a few verses. We're not going to read the whole thing because that would take a long time. It says, oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I refuse to walk on any evil path so that I may remain obedient to your word. That's beautiful. If you obey God's statutes, if you obey God's word as you read it, he will make you wise. Right? I hear concerns about the Bible. People read it, they look at it and say, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there that it just doesn't really fit with our culture. It's outdated. The Bible's views on sex and gender, all those things, they're just outdated. Or they're burdensome. If you will commit to reading and obeying God's word, as you grow, as you walk down that path, you'll understand more. You'll understand why God has put so many of these things into his word. It's not to be burdensome, it's to protect you. It's not old-fashioned, it's ancient, eternal wisdom. God knows how things work, and he gave us instructions, sort of. There's a lot of things that aren't in there, but there are a lot of principles that we can apply. Right? That's why last week, Kyle challenged you to read God's word. Our Proverbs challenge, right? It wasn't just to go out and read wise quotes from old dead people. Right? I mean, the people that wrote the Bible are dead now too, and they're old. Right? But he challenged you with the read 10:1:1. Beginning of chapter 10, read one chapter and practice one verse today. I'm going to see if there's anybody bold that wanted to share how that's going. Does anybody have something from today or from this week that they put into practice that they want to share with the whole church? All right, Proverbs 17:28 from today says, even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. We got one, all right. Ryan Bondi. Yeah, I want to. That's awesome. For those that couldn't hear, he said that there's a lot of things that talk about correction or reproof and receiving it gladly. That's what the wise do. And so he decided when he was going to get corrected later that day, he wanted to receive it gladly. That's awesome. Anybody else? Now that Ryan's broken, I'll do one more. No? All right. The second part of what Kyle talked about was also challenging to me. He said he said to initiate with one person who's living out a life that you want to live and ask some questions. And that is hard to do, right? To go up to maybe somebody you know, maybe somebody you don't know as well, and say, hey, I like the way that you live. It's not what you have to say. This isn't a script. But we decided that we wanted to provide an opportunity for you guys to do that, right? To meet with people. We've asked some of the staff on the city side of the church to select people that they thought were wise. And so next Sunday after the service in the fireside room, you are invited to go and try to meet people. And I'm not sure how we're going to differentiate those who are seeking wisdom and those who are already wise. We'll probably make them dress up like Dumbledore or something. Right? But God gives wisdom through other wise people. One of our Proverbs from earlier this week, Proverbs 13, says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. Do you surround yourself with wise people or with fools? It might seem kind of harsh to call your friends fools. There's actually four different types of people when it comes to wisdom that we find in the book of Proverbs, right? There's the wise, the simple, the fool, and the mocker. And the wise, that's who we're trying to be. They are following God's ways. They have decided that they are going to, pursue wisdom. They're the simple, simple's not bad. You just lack wisdom. You don't know yet. The fool knows what's wise and chooses to do the other thing. And the mocker, I like Andy Stanley's description of the mocker. That's the fool on steroids, constantly mocking or scoffing at others who pursue what's right and what's wise. Mockers are cynical, critical, condescending, and controlling. Bottom line, you can't win with them. They just don't listen. Right? Some of you are like, I had no idea today that I was going to be rooting to be simple. Come on, simple. But that's okay. It's okay to admit that you lack wisdom. Like I said, it's one of the wisest things you can do. And you need to kind of look at the way that people live their lives to determine, do you want to associate? Do you want to follow the same path as them? The simple become wise through experience and by associating with other wise people. And usually it's rare to actually find that with your peers. I'm not going to say it's impossible. I don't have time to go into it, but look up Rehoboam at some point. He was Solomon's son. He chose to spurn the advisors of his father, the advisors to the wisest man on earth, and ask his bros instead what he should do with something. And it doesn't go well. Ask wisdom. Hang out with wise people. Ask them your questions for input. Troy was an awesome example of that. Be hungry for input. All right, I want to jump quickly to James chapter 3. He shares a word of caution about wisdom. He talks about how there are basically two kinds of wisdom. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds, It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Okay, I mentioned before, there are people who don't start with the fear of the Lord, and they do gain wisdom, right? You can hack this life. But those who start with the fear of the Lord, they get wisdom from above, like James says. And you can tell by the fruit that's in their life. Those are the people you should run after and ask them to pour into your life. See, wisdom, when it's executed correctly, it brings peace. And Jesus said this to his disciples. He was trying to give them some peace when he shares, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare, prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going." "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Right? This is language similar to wisdom, the way, the path. And Jesus responds, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." So when all else fails, when you've memorized the book of Proverbs, when you've sought wisdom and it fails, and you find yourself in a position that you think only a fool would be in, we have hope. We have peace because we have placed our faith in the one who is the way, who is the truth and is the life. God not only offers you wisdom, he is wisdom. And we can come into the very presence of wisdom because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. We just have to accept him. We have access to his supernatural wisdom. See, when you start out with the fear of the Lord, and it leads you to Jesus, I think the only proper response is what we see at the end of the Psalm 111 that we've been doing today. It's to praise him forever. Right? He deserves it. God is awesome, and if you surrender to him, he will show you his wisdom. If you read his word and obey it, he will give you wisdom. And he's given you wise people in your life who want to help you to become wise. I'm going to pray. The band's going to come up. We are going to praise him because he is worthy. We're also going to have the prayer ministers come up. They'll be in the front and the back. If you would like to pray with somebody about anything that I shared, about anything that's going on really in your life, we'd be happy to do that. Let me pray. Jesus, I ask you for wisdom on behalf of each person here. Lord, would you make us wiser, Lord? Would you give us a wisdom that would cause us to be a light in this world, Lord, that people would see that we understand somehow the way that this world works and that people would ask us about it and we can point them to the way. The way is the way that this life works. It makes sense in you. Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord, and we worship you now. We get to praise you forever. Thank you, Jesus. It is in your name I pray. Amen.